Hello, diamond beauties and interdimensional beings of light. It's Lisa here, your mystic guide, inviting you to come and take a ride with me as we journey through space and time. Our mission is to create conscious content for 1111D, sharing resources of light for the new reality. Welcome to the Buddhist Biohacker.
Buddhist Biohacker would like to thank our partners Block Therapy, Purity Coffee, Dry Farm Wines, Omnia, and 2-1 Photography. Information can be found on lisamgunshore.com. Join our forum at miwi.com/Buddhist Biohacker and watch live on YouTube on the Buddhist Biohacker channel.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are out into the world. My name is Lisa Gunshore, and I am your host of the Buddhist Biohacker. Buddhist Biohacker is creating conscious content for 1111D, and we've had quite a year this year, and we hit our 100th episode at the beginning of this year, and here we are back again, and it is Friday, September 18th. I've been saying the date so that we all remember where we are in the world, because it seems like timelines are a little crazy right now, and I'm just so excited about our guests today, so I really want to openly welcome everyone and introduce you to Tim Walter. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. It was a nice surprise.
Yeah, I just really, to give everybody context who's joining into the live right now, I was looking up ley lines and doing some Google searching, and I came across your YouTube channel, and it's so fabulous. And I watched this video of you talking to a tree that I think you were going to cut down. I think that's what was happening. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to fill you in actually, because it was actually, we had already cut it down. I'll let you finish your introduction there, but it was a tree that I was explaining how I really regretted the fact that we'd had to cut it down. I looked out the window because I was thinking, actually, are you right? I can't remember. I do, there's so many videos on there, and it was a little while ago. But yeah, I do remember that because I had the tree creeper that flew in, the little bird flew in and landed just above my head. And that's what I was explaining, the wonders of the universe. But yeah, sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, I just watched it and it was so, not only was your energy so compassionate, but there's so many YouTube channels and content and so much stuff out there. And I just really appreciated what you were teaching and what the energy was. And so I wrote you right away and I was like, please come on. So I'm glad you're here and excited to have you on. And I do have his channel up for everybody. So while you guys are connecting in, I see folks ticking up here in the live. You can find him on YouTube right there at the bottom of your screen also. But Tim, I want to know about you. So I want to start out with just hearing, like, you know, who you are and what you do and how you got started in all this.
It's a funny old story. I mean, thank you for your lovely comments there, by the way. That's very sweet to hear my channel described like that. I was saying literally half an hour ago to my wife, you know, that I tend to come at all of this, and I was explaining about the sort of content that you have. It's a very broad cross-section. You have a lot of different people on, and I would say, well, I don't know, you know, I come at this from a very grounded, practical viewpoint. So it's interesting that you felt that there was some nice energy on the channel. But yeah, let me just take you back a little bit to pre-1998. That's when it really started for me. So we're going back a ways. Pre-1998, I was a extremely stressed out corporate video producer. I used to work for various companies. One of my main clients was one of the biggest financial services companies in the UK, in the world, in fact. They were basically, you know, heavy into life assurance. which has a certain irony now with what I do, and we'll get on to what I do these days. But anyway, that was pre-1998, very stressed out. Had no idea about the subtle realms, about the spirit world or anything like that at all, really. And then in that year, 1998, my wife and I and our two little boys, we moved house. We moved from the south of England, went right across to the west, to the Welsh borders, because we wanted to move out of the really busy sort of metropolitan life of that southeast England and get some space. And boy, did we get some space, because we moved into a five-bedroom big Georgian townhouse in a small little village, and it's a complete change of lifestyle. But what we realized soon after moving in there, and I don't know whether you can hear my cat in the background, can you?
Yes.
JF, that's one of my regulars there, has turned up. That's lovely, from Canada. So we moved into this house, and really soon after moving in, we realized that all was not as we were expecting life to be at that sort of stage. Because basically, long story short, various things started happening and awarenesses started changing. And for example, I was seeing dark figures out of the corner of my eye as I went around this house. And there was a part of the house that I was very uncomfortable. A lot of us were very uncomfortable about going in. But it was like a section at the back of the house that was used as a storage space by the previous occupants, the previous owners of the house. But it was very, very, very neglected. It was awful. And I just thought, well, that's just because it's used as a storage space. It doesn't feel great. So the energy wasn't good, you know, didn't feel nice. But then there were things like, you know, elsewhere in the house. I remember distinctly one day where I put my hand out to pick up a cup of tea, and there was another arm that mimicked my movement right next to it. And it had a black sleeve on it, and it was very, very real. It wasn't like having hallucination. And it was there just for a brief glimpse, and then it went again. And I thought, there's something not quite right about this house. And, you know, things had been disappearing around the house as well, like tools. As I used them, I would put them down, turn around, turn back again, and it was disappeared, you know. I mean, literally, it wasn't a case of having a senior moment. It literally disappeared and then would reappear a day later. So there was this sort of stuff going on around the house. And we had some builders in doing some work. Builders aren't the sort of people that you would ordinarily say are the most sensitive in the world. But one of them quietly took my wife and I aside and said, well, you know, I think you should have your house spiritually cleared. And we said, what do you mean? And they said, well, we think you've got some things going on here, and we know some people that could help, you know, that could clear it for you if you would like us to get in touch with them. And because obviously of what we've been experiencing, we said, yeah, okay, let's do that, you know. And it turned out that actually one of the people that he was referring to was his wife, who for a hobby basically was clearing houses. So basically fairly soon after that conversation with that builder, these three ladies turned up on the doorstep, and they were carrying bent bits of metal in their hands, right? Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I'd ever seen dowsing rods. And they explained what they were going to do, which was they basically wanted to use these strange bent bits of metal to find out what was going on in the house. And then they would let us know. So they wandered around the house. They ended up in the room that I just described, the storage space. And there was lots of muttering between them and lots of their movements of rods. And my wife and I were just sort of looking at each other thinking, what have we done? This is more bizarre than having, you know, weird things occurring. Basically they said, look, you've got a spirit of a deceased lady here. She has been trying to make contact with you without scaring you and the wife and the boys. But she just wants to be part of the family. And that is where it all started. And I'm sitting here now talking to you, because that happened, and it took me on a massive journey, and which obviously I'm quite happy to talk about various aspects of that as you wish. But that was the introduction to it. That was that was my beginning of the spiritual awakening, if you like. And obviously these days we've got a lot of people going through various different sort of experiences that are enabling them to step through that doorway. And that's, you know, quite honestly, that's what I do a lot of, in is helping people sort of make sense of their world, as because sometimes the spiritual awakening can be quite a shock. And, you know, we tend to sometimes refer to it as spiritual shock, where you can get symptoms of psychosis even. And, you know, more often than not, actually, what needs to be done is a kind of a really good grounding exercise and give the person an understanding of how to manage the subtle energies that they are encountering, perhaps for the first time. And then you sort of set them off and they're fine, you know, they're okay. A lot of the time, they haven't found anybody that is experiencing similar things to what they are. And you're a sensitive lady, you're a clairvoyant or whatever aspect you have. You know what it's like. The world is a very different place when you open up to those subtle energies.
Yeah, it very much is. And I think one of the things that I noticed right away when I watched your videos and tuned into your channel, and what I loved, is that you are giving support in a really comprehensive way. I mean, as much as I'm a psychic medium and all woo-woo, I also am the daughter of two engineers. And so my brain, I'm a very analytical, process-driven thinker myself. And so how I learned to manage my abilities and to really refine my spiritual gifts was through the processes and the tools that were given to me. And so I love that you do that. I mean, I felt like your communication, and even now while you're talking, it's so grounded. And that kind of support is what's needed right now, because everything is topsy-turvy for everyone. And so I have several questions. We can go all sorts of places, but one of them is, what did you do? Like, what did your research and your awakening process look like as you started after that event happened? Like, what was your journey like? Because obviously that's part of what you're bringing to people now.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, that's great. Do you know what? The grounded aspect is partly to do with the fact that a lot of my path has been connected with dowsing, but it's also connected to, you won't be able to see this, but I'm going to point just because it's so bizarre. There's a little figure in this painting, this picture. Oh, I don't even know where my... But anyway, just over there.
Backwards in here. It's so weird.
Yeah. There's a little figure. Right. The reason I point to that is because that actually is Hamish Miller. It's a gentleman called Hamish Miller. Now, Hamish Miller, if you Google him and look at... Well, in fact, on my YouTube channel, there's a lot of videos featuring Hamish. Hamish Miller basically was fundamental in my path from that point that I described earlier on, when we were introduced to the spirit of the deceased lady. The deceased lady in our house basically revealed herself to be a guardian energy. So she was a guardian spirit. And her role in that house was actually in clearing and making safe. We had two earth energy lines crossing in that back room. In that room that I told you about that felt so terrible. And her role, her role was to keep the flow of energy moving through there so that it wasn't a massive stagnant pool, right? I told various people, but not very many people, about this event of finding this, what I originally thought was a ghost, you know, She actually was a spirit of somebody that had been incarnate. So she actually did live and had lived about 1800 years beforehand. Her name was Jane, and we always referred to her as Jane. So if I mention Jane in any of this conversation in the next 40 minutes or so, that's who I'm talking about. And the thing was that from that point of being introduced to her, I picked up dowsing rods to be able to have conversations with Jane, right? I told a few people about this in my family, but I didn't tell anybody really outside of the family because I didn't want to be declared a nutter. So, you know, it's as simple as that. So one of the people that I told was my dad's sister, who I knew was fairly woo-woo. And she sent me a book by Hamish Miller. Sorry, wrong way around. Hamish Miller, called The Sun and the Serpent. Now, The Sun and the Serpent is a really influential New Age book that was written in the 80s. And it tells of Hamish's journey to, he spent 10 years in association with a guy called Paul Broadhurst, who he wrote the book with. And what they did in those 10 years was basically trace earth energy lines across the south of England. But it was two specific lines. There is an alignment across the south of England that goes from Cornwall, which is in the southwest, across to Norfolk over on the east coast. And that is known and has always been known as the Michael Alignment because it goes through various sacred sites that were connected with Archangel Michael, St. Michael. Now, Jean-Michel, who was a great geomancer and a great mystic, he'd written about the Michael Alignment, and Hamish knew Jean-Michel. And so Paul one day announced to Hamish, look, let's find the energy that is associated with this alignment. And what they were expecting to find was the straight alignment. But what they actually found was that there were two earth energy lines that were weaving like a river around the central straight alignment. So we'll come back to ley lines in a minute, but when we talk about ley lines, we know that ley lines are straight and they tend to go through sacred sites and what have you. But earth energy is the natural flow of energy that weaves like a river around, quite often around ley lines, not always. But in an instance like the Michael line, you've got a Michael alignment, straight line, lots of sacred sites, including Glastonbury, which is a huge sacred site over here, and Avebury Henge, which is an amazing place. And so Hamish spent 10 years dousing the earth energy, right, going across there. Hamish was also a healer. He was a blacksmith for a living, but he was a healer. He was a healer of the land. And he'd been involved in something called Fountain International. Because I'd been given this book, The Sun and the Serpent, I was fascinated by what Hamish was doing. And even in The Sun and the Serpent, I think he mentions Fountain International. I'll come back to Fountain International in a minute. But so like any obsessive person that's just encountered the spirit world and starting to realize that the world is not what it seems, bloody, bloody, blah, blah, I wanted to get all of the information I possibly could from Hamish. Because I was a video producer, what I saw was an opportunity to make a really interesting video program with this guy. And that would make a real change from what I was doing for the corporate world that I was getting increasingly bored with because there was no, what's the point of this? But I thought, Hamish, so I asked Hamish, I basically wrote to him and I met him at a book launch that he was doing at the time. And his first reaction to the idea of doing some television was to say no. He said, it's nice to meet you, but no, I'm not doing any television. He'd actually had a really unfortunate encounter with Time Team. I don't know whether you had Time Team over there. So Time Team is a British program about a team of archaeologists investigating archaeological sites. That's the point. But on one program, Hamish had got involved as a dowser because the production team wanted to see if dowsing worked. And so they sort of set Hamish up and tested him with this dowsing and see what he could find. And he came up with absolutely zero that had any relevance to what Time Team were asking him to find. So he always regarded that as a massive failure. And he also was the first person that introduced me to the concept of mass control from governments, because as far as he was concerned, excuse the cat, sorry. The mass control from the governments, because he said, look, I'm not interested in doing television. Television is for the masses. It's just used to keep people under control, give them football on the Saturday night and keeps them happy. And that was my first kind of, you know, understanding of, well, somebody out there has got a very alternative view. Poor old Max. He's really not comfortable. Sorry about that, but he's going to be a feature of this interview, I'm afraid. So anyway, Hamish was an incredible dancer, and he was also really big-hearted, and he really cared about the future of humanity. That was a really big thing. Really cared about it. Hello, Tom. Good to see you. That's another regular from my channel there. So Hamish was driven by the desire to actually get as many people as possible aware of dowsing, primarily, because as far as he was concerned, dowsing was a way of opening that door to the subtle realms. And then once you open the door, people can find their own path. And that is sort of what I've picked up from, you know, I've picked up that from him, really, that desire to sort of just help connect as many people as possible through using dowsing, because it's the simplest. Hey, Nick, that's a great to see you. It's the simplest way of opening that doorway and making us and taking a step forward. Max, mate, what's up, fella? You've been, sorry about this, Lisa.
Oh, it's fine. I'm okay with it, as long as the kid is okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing I can do for him at the moment. But anyway, it's not that I'm ignoring him, but I sort of am ignoring him, clearly. Hello, yeah. Jane.
He's telling me. He wants you to pay attention.
I know. He's been quiet for days on end, and now he's, anyway. The reason I mentioned Fountain International earlier on in connection with Hamish was because what Fountain International was about sending healing to specific places. And that was set up by a guy called Colin Bloy. And that probably originated in the late 70s, I think. It might not, but I think it was, because it was Colin Bloy's view that positive intent from a group of people could affect the way a space treated the people that were living in that space, if you like, okay? So it was called Fountain International because in Brighton, which is a town on the south coast of England, around that time, which, as I say, I think it was late 70s, every bank holiday weekend, they used to have riots on the beachfront. Kids would travel for miles just to go and have a fist fight at Brighton. So Colin Bloy and a little group, Hamish included, used to travel to Brighton and send loving intent into what they doused to be the main power centre of Brighton, okay, the earth energy power centre, the Hara of Brighton. And they reckon that, and I agree with them, to be honest, they reckon that their healing work in the space actually helped reduce the violence that took place over the coming, a couple of years. But the police reports, again, I've never looked at them personally, but Hamish used to say that the police reports showed that the violence just gently subsided away. And they did the same thing in Notting Hill in London, same team, same group, Fountain International. Notting Hill, which today is a very upmarket and desirable place to live, at the time was probably a really rotten, run-down neighbourhood, and it used to have a lot of riots. And this was in the days before the Notting Hill Carnival and all this sort of thing. And Fountain International went there and did the same thing. They focused their loving intent in that space. And, you know, look at Notting Hill today. It's completely the opposite. It's probably, you know, it just shines almost, I think, as an example of the opposite occurring. So that was an example of the way that Hamish used the power of focused intent. He used to connect to what he called the management. So he called all of he didn't actually. He referred to the sort of as close as possible to the ultimate creator. He referred to them as the management, right? Okay. And he had a near-death experience when he was 54, and he went up and met the management. And this was his big that was his big life changer, was that he met the management and he had the conversation with them and remembered it sufficiently and decided, you know, he'd better come back and do something different with his life. And that's when he came back, and that's when his spiritual journey really started. But he always felt that he left a part of himself upstairs with the management, and he was so big-hearted that he just really wanted to help get the shift moving in the species, which I think is really what we're seeing today. You know, we're seeing a lot of the sort of nuggets that were planted back in that era, in the late 70s and the 80s, coming to fruition now. And even in things like, you know, the big marketing sort of specials of The Secret and things like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some people poo-poo and say, well, you know, that's just a major business exercise. Well, actually, you know, what it's done is open a lot of people's eyes to the possibility of co-creation. And that's all that was necessary, you know, and that's where we're now stepping on from. But of course, all of these big shifts of energy also involve a lot of chaos, and that's why we're in chaos. But as you say, to be as grounded as possible and simply have a very practical approach, you know, step and walk in harmony with the management in whatever form it may be that you experience, and just deal with one thing at a time, whatever's in front of you. If you're feeling like you're getting overwhelmed with the chaos that's going out in the wider world,
mm-hmm.
In fact, ignore the wider world and just focus on your own individual experience of being alive. That's, you know, the bottom line. That's the way to remain as grounded as possible and to actually make progress in amongst all of this stuff. Find a good teacher too. It's always helpful. But anyway, did I answer a question, Lisa?
Yeah, you did. I'm fascinated by all this. So is Fountain International still exist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go on.
Well, no, I was just going to say, is there a way for folks to access it to be able to
Google? Just Google Fountain International and you'll come up with something. You may come up with a website that may be run by a lady called Suzanne Thomas. And that's great. That means you've hit the right place, because Suzanne is and has been for some years, has been sort of a key figure. One of the things that Colin Bloy insisted was that he didn't want Fountain International to be a formal organization, because what he didn't want was what inevitably happens with formal organizations, no matter how well-intentioned they are to start with, when you get those at the top of the organization, it ends up getting disjointed. And Colin felt that that wasn't necessary to have that structure, because what he was about was the individual's connection to the space in which they live, which is really, again, now I've just said it to you, I've just realized that that's actually probably where I get some of my approach as well, because that's really what I teach. I teach a process that I've learned partly from Hamish and partly from another colleague that I've met along the path. And, you know, it's really about the individual's perception and what the individual is experiencing and the whole nature of reality for that individual. So always looking at it from the inside out, which we know is the basis of nearly all spiritual belief, is that the center, our true selves, is way inside here. And this is a projection that is emanating out from that point. And it's an environment that we're here to learn in. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's beautifully said. And, you know, we talk about it all the time on Buddhist Biohacker, you know, that we're really creator itself, you know, expressing itself through us. And so it's beautifully said what you're saying, and very grounded, which is, I do get enough. I am, there's the kitty. I am, because of my gifts, I'm not very grounded. So I've had to really work at that. So having somebody like you in my space is so great, because it like grounds me into my space. But it's so important, that individual piece that you're talking about, because
I think
part of God.
Because the thing is, if you're this is the thing, is you see, it's wonderful to be connected, and it's wonderful to have the natural gift. You see, you've got the natural gift. I haven't got the natural gift. I had to really work at that connection, and I still do have to work at that connection. Oh, darling. Yes. Wow. I won't disappear out of shop, but anyway, so I do have to work at the connection. But you see, the thing is, it's great to be connected and to know that the management are there with you and to walk in step with the management during the day, during the day and the night and the rest of it. But if you want to do something, make change, affect change, not make change, affect change, in alignment with divine will, then you have to be grounded, because you can't move stuff unless you've got a solid base from which to move against. So all the air energy is wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. But to ground it into the earth, which is why earth energy is so important, really, in the spiritual sense of things, because it's probably the closest to the physical realm. Rather, like dowsing is the closest to the physical realm out of all the spiritual activities. But it enables you to make use of the ability of being a human being, which is a grounded aspect of creation.
Yes.
To make those choices and to effect change. So what we're saying, we're not putting ego into this. We're not saying, oh yes, well, I do this, Tim Walter does this. No, that's not the point at all. It's actually about allowing the management's connection to come through and manifest, but allow the change to occur. And that's what we do in house healing, when we work with house healing energies.
Yeah, and there's that moment that I hope many spiritual or sensitive people have, where you recognize you actually did come here to experience your body and to be in this world. And it's about bringing all the ether and air elements into this body and into this world, because that's what creates the alchemy of the experience. And so it's just really wonderfully said. I want to know, so obviously I've been to your channel and I've watched some of your videos and I looked at things and I was really excited about it. But what is your mission with your platform now? Like, what are you teaching? What's your mission? What do you have on there for everybody who's new? I know we've got some people who know who you are, but we have some folks who don't. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I noticed that Eve is asking me to say, why don't I pick up the kitty? Really, because the poor little thing is so unwell. I mean, I know that seems counteractive, but if he starts up again, I'll pick him up, Eve. There we go. And we'll see how we go with him. The mission of the channel, well, what am I about is really what you're asking. And fundamentally, it is to open the door, or allow people to open the door for themselves, as many of them as possible. So there are always going to be those people that want to gently learn in their own time and be very insular and just do their own thing, and that's absolutely great. I work as a house healer, so I have house healing clients. So rather like a feng shui consultant works with people all over the world on feng shui aspects, I work with the spiritual aspect, with the spiritual energy, to assist people to move on, to overcome challenges that they have in their life. So I do that as a personal, that's my profession. The work that I do on YouTube is to allow people to see that this sort of stuff can change things. So, because that's the bottom line, the house healing changes something for the end person. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to pick him up. As far as I'm concerned, that's the main priority, is to enable people that feel they resonate with the way that I present stuff to find me. Sorry, I'm going to just dive out of shop.
Do it.
Single little, poor little fella wants to come up. Come on, fella. Here we go. It's going to be. Come on, mate. There we go. Now, make it so. Now, it might not necessarily be any better, because he's not.
Aww.
He's very, very old. And he's very, very unwell. So we'll see how he goes. If he's happier up there, then he's happier up there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
sweet baby.
Well, he might throw up.
I had and dogs, and I haven't had a pet in a very long time since my dog passed away. And so just seeing a little fluffy baby makes me happy. So it's all good.
So here
I am, 20 years, I've studied spirituality, I've read all these books, you know, work as a psychic medium, all these things. And what's kind of cool and interesting is that this year, in this time of expansion and great awakening, I discovered YouTube. Because to be honest, I really didn't go on YouTube that much myself over the years. And one of the things that I discovered is that we're still sort of behind here. And I've in some of the knowledge of some of this ancient wisdom. And so one of the things that I really respect about the UK, and a lot of you that are doing this kind of work in the UK, is you have a lot of knowledge that I don't think I've really understood or even been exposed to, honestly. And ley lines is one of those. I mean, this is part of the context of how I found you, because I started to become aware of the planetary grids energetically several years ago, and I've worked with grid energy and do meditations with grid energy and all of these things, but I didn't actually understand that there was a whole system that was taught about it. So I know you've touched on it, and I wrote this book down, The Sun and the Serpent, and I'll put that in the show notes for everybody, because I'm totally going to read that book. But what else do you want to say about ley lines? Because I feel like I'm still very new to this concept. And for me, it's always been this way. This is my journey, Tim, is everything I see clairvoyantly, all of this stuff, but then I have to go find the context for it. It's like hard to find. And I think that in the US, we might be a little behind on some of these things that you guys are talking about out there.
I'm not sure that you are particularly behind. I think, everybody's journey unfolds in the time that is appropriate. And there's a mass of knowledge. You know, you could spend many, many lifetimes delving into esoteric knowledge in all its different forms and formats and all the rest of it. You know, most indigenous cultures around the world have been aware of what we would call earth energy. So earth energy is slightly different to ley lines. Ley lines are, and again, grids are also different as well to both of those things. But ley lines are more sort of man-made, the way that I see it, and people will disagree with this, but the way that I see it is the ley lines are more man-made straight alignments that cross the landscape in straight lines. Earth energy is not. Earth energy is a natural phenomenon and is probably connected to both the biogeomagnetic fields of the earth and also fundamentally to the structure of reality itself too. We'll come back to that in a second. So the thing that I find most interesting is earth energy rather than ley lines. I also have very little knowledge about grids per se. You know, in the house healing work, we cover some 50 or so section headings when we're analyzing what might be causing detrimental effects upon a family or somebody living in a house or working in a place. Grids are one of those aspects. But, you know, you don't need to know a great deal about the actual detail of the thing that you're finding and asking upstairs to change in order for them to affect a change. Because after all, they are, I'm nodding upstairs, referring to the management. The management created everything that we encounter and experience. Really what we're doing when we're doing the house healing work, when we douse to find things that are adversely affecting somebody, we are simply acting as the point of observation. And then we simply act again as a point of observation when we ask upstairs to do the healing work. So in that sense, it's a faith healing. So coming back to your point, I don't think that there is, in Britain, Great Britain has an older culture than the USA, but it doesn't, because the indigenous culture of the USA goes back eons, and there's no difference. It's just that we've got a certain different way of looking at things. But some of us from over here may appear to have more knowledge or more areas of wisdom than some others in the USA, but it's as a country and as a society here in Britain, we're incredibly closed-minded. Incredibly closed-minded. It's far easier to talk about this stuff to a lot of Americans than it is to a lot of English people. I get all sorts of reactions from people if I start to talk about the spiritual aspect of life. Some people just refuse. I have had people just turn and walk away, just don't want to know if I've opened up a conversation about spirit. That's fine. That's up to them. That's fine. I mean, I don't ram any of this stuff down somebody's throat because it's not my place to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the trouble is that when anybody becomes spiritually, has that spiritual awakening and sees things differently, they do feel as though they need to go on some kind of evangelical sort of, journey to tell everybody about it, which actually you don't need to. But having said that, that sort of contradicts my wish to enable as many people as possible to step through that door for themselves. But I'm not kind of going out there and ramming it down people's throats. If people find me, that's great, and that's the way it works. So really my role, I see it far more as introducing people to the concepts and then actually encouraging them to go and look into things for themselves, the details of it. And again, that also, there's a couple of people here on the comments on the chat there, if they're still there, who are on the house healing courses that I run. And that's the way that I work when I'm teaching the actual house healing, because it's all about the individual's connection to the management. It's not about learning details of, size or parameters of energy or flow. It's about the individual perception at each individual moment and putting it all into context in that moment. So I'm not a big one for technical knowledge. I don't know what I mean by that, but you get the impression, you understand where I'm getting. It's all about the individual.
Yeah.
And their connection.
And I appreciate it, because I think what's really cool about what's happening on YouTube is there's lots of us out there really doing exactly what you're talking about, which is putting those resources out so that you can go discover more information on your own and really be able to understand, because everybody's journey is individual and unique. Right. So I think it's awesome. And again, just want to shout out one more time for everybody in the Buddhist biohacker community who's new to Tim. Like, it's so accessible. Like, your videos make it so accessible. It's so grounded. It's so such good information. And sometimes it can be all over the place on some videos and teachings. So I really appreciate how grounded
I've produced enough videos that are all over the place, I can assure you, Lisa.
Well, me too. I mean, I'm just learning still on YouTube for sure. And that kind of brings me to what I wanted to talk about next, which is when I first started reading people professionally, it was 2006. And it was not something I would tell everyone. Like, if somebody asked me what I did, I was like, oh, I'm a counselor. I don't know. You just kind of walk around it. And now here it is 15 years later. And it's like, man, I can just tell people, hey, I'm a psychic medium. This is what I do. Here I am on YouTube doing all of these shows, talking to all sorts of different healers. And it's just so much has changed. And then here we are, we hit this global event, I like to call it. Things are changing even more. It's really pushed all of us out into a public arena to really talk about this openly. So I want to get your thoughts on where things are now and what you think and feel about this.
I think it's really, really interesting, isn't it? Because it's exactly what you said, is that even 4 or 5 years ago, when I started, if I called myself a spiritual life coach, for example, it would have been like, what's spiritual life? What does that mean? I could probably do that without any problem. And people would say, oh, yeah, right, great. Oh, yeah, come on, tell me about it. It's not a coincidence, is it, that we've got the COVID lockdown and all of that. I won't mention it, but I won't keep referring to it because you'll probably get connection lost. But the point is, it's not a, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a coincidence that what we have is lockdown, when actually so much prior to that was flourishing and booming and part of the big shift of perception within society as a whole globally was going very much in the direction that you just said, a spiritual awakening globally. Now, the crisis that we have has been a healing process as well. It has enabled a lot of people to actually realize that they have a connection to literally their own plot, their own backyard, their gardens, you know, the value of spending time with the family, you know, even if it's been frustrating having to do homeschooling and all this stuff. There's been a lot of positives coming out of it. Now, of course, there have been a lot of deaths as well, but, you know, people die. That's part of life. So, and I don't mean that in a harsh way at all. But, you know, I think to a certain extent, the lockdown process, which I would tend to think is you know, those in charge would like to have seen it as like the big boot on the species. I think actually it's backfired. I think it's done the opposite to what they thought it would do. And that is great because that is part of the process. That's part of, you know, you put pressure on something and it goes one of two ways. It doesn't just disappear. You know, it changes, you know, whatever you do. If you're, I won't go into details, but if you're, if you've got a massive great zit and you pressurize it, then something's going to happen. So, yeah. You know, and I think, yeah, it's a time of change and people's viewpoints are changing. I think what's really, really difficult for individuals and every individual is for each individual to establish the truth. So really the only guide that any of us can have is what our hearts actually feel is the truth. And that really is the only thing that we can rely on. There's no point in even trying to look at media and assess to try to find the truth anymore. The only place to find the truth is in your own heart, because you know what your heart, but this means that you have to be very open and honest and have a flow and connection to your own heart, apart from anybody else's. So, but that's why it's so tough right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think this has really been a gift, and I probably said this a few times now on the show, but I always tell everyone, like, this year it's kind of like, I feel like it's like my wedding day. Like I was here for this my whole life. And I remember the day that Colorado went into lockdown, and I was at the store and there were lines and lines of people at the food store. And I was looking around and it was like, oh my God, is this really going to happen? Like, are we really going to do this? Is this really coming? And it's been, I agree with you. It's been a really incredible catalyst for healing and awakening and opening and really taking a look at ourselves. And I think all of us have seen expansion within our own consciousness through this year. And one of those weird things, you know, that's come up is the paranormal experiences, or, and I don't know if I even want to use that term, but like the experience of the subtle realms is really opened up for a lot of people. Have you seen that with your own clients as you're going in and healing
people? Oh yeah.
Things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. There's all sorts of stuff happening. But you know, I mean, it was bound to happen. I mean, the thing is, they say that there are many ancient prophecies that this sort of thing was going to happen, and even, you know, Hamish used to say that the standing stones were made of stone and usually so bloody big, because they were put up by people that knew what they were marking was incredibly important, and that one day those places would come back and others, you know, new generations would recognize their power and their importance. Because a lot of these sacred sites, the Neolithic sacred sites, are incredibly powerful creation points. So if you sit in a sacred site that was designed as a creative portal, then boy, do you connect with some heavy power. And that's the point. And these are actually still, you know, they're not functioning at anything like the level that they used to. I can't remember what your question was now, but it's
it doesn't matter. I think, you know, time flies in this channel for sure. So we're coming to the end, but I always want to give space. I have two questions. I want to give you some space to share how folks can access you. Obviously, Tim's information is on the screen. It's in the notes, but I love to give space, like, you know, what's going on right now? What do you want to share? And then my last question is, you know, what's next for you? Like, what are you looking for 2021 and looking forward to? So those are my questions.
I've got a couple of seconds to publicize my website. Yes. KnightsRose.com. It's interesting, isn't it? Knight's Rose. People ask me, why Knight's Rose? What does that mean? It was given to me. I mean, I'm digressing slightly, but you realize by now that I always digress. Knight's Rose as a label was given to me. It was a color of a paint, an exterior woodwork paint that I picked up to paint the front door of our house. I looked at it and it said Knight's Rose. And I thought, wow, that's a fantastic name for a company. And then carried on painting the door. And when I made the first video with Hamish Miller, and I would encourage anybody that's interested that's watching to go along to the YouTube channel, which is Knight's Rose 100 on YouTube, or search for me, Tim Walter House Healer or Tim Walter Dowser. Don't just put Tim Walter because you'll get a German football manager, which clearly isn't me. So, Knight's Rose as a name. So when I did the first video with Hamish Miller, that's what I was getting at, is there's a thing, if you search on the channel for Spirit of the Serpent, that's the first video production I did with Hamish Miller. 30 minutes. It was a pilot for a broadcast series. But I wanted to put that out on VHS. So that dates it. It was on VHS when we made it, right? And I thought, well, it needs a brand, so I'll use Knight's Rose as the brand, as you know, the publishing brand. And that's where it was, and it's stuck with ever since. But of course, as my journey went on, of course, I've realized that Knight's Rose is associated not only with Knights Templar, who were very much into earth energy and found some really interesting mystical and mythical esoterics knowledge in Jerusalem when they were on the Crusades. That's really what gave them their power and why the church hated them so much. So Knights Templar are absolutely fascinating, but also the rose is kind of indicative of the Rosicrucians, which have a very interesting view on spirituality as well. I don't know much about the Rosicrucian viewpoint, but it is really interesting. And also, of course, the bottom line is of Knight's Rose is that it balances the male and the female. To me, Knight's being more male and Rose being the female. And that really is what we're doing throughout all of this, balancing of the energies. So, yeah, in terms of what's for me, what's up, what's next, what am I doing? I'm developing a house healer network. So everybody that goes through the training has the option to join that network when they've got to the certain stage of accomplishment. And the point of that is that, the bottom line, I'll make it public for you there, Lisa. The bottom line is that over the next 5 years, I want to be able to train 100 house healers in this particular process. And as far as I'm concerned, if I do that in 5 years, then after 5 years, I'll start to do something else. But that's my goal. That's my next 5 years. Because if I can train 100, then it means that over their lifetime, then those 100 will maybe train another 100 each. And that to me is a great legacy, not from an ego point of view, but just to leave the planet a better place than when I joined it. If that's what I do, then that's what I do. So, I want to write a book about, what this is all about, what this energy is, can really do for people on an individual level, but that would also reflect my story too. So that would be quite an interesting, it's an exercise I want to do. I've always wanted to write a book. I've written one already. You could pick up a jointly authored book, which is called Spirit and Earth. If you Google that, Google me. I co-wrote it with a guy called Adrian Inkleton Weber, who is an amazing house healer, and I learned a lot from Adrian. And Spirit and Earth. It's a great little book. It's basically trying to show people in very, very simple terms how easy it is actually to connect to the management, and some practical sort of hints in that. So you can pick that up from Amazon in the USA or the UK. But yeah, so there's loads to do and things to change. And whether Max will be with us or not, I don't know. But yeah.
Definitely happier in your arms than he was on the ground. So I love having you on here. I hope that you can come back and we can talk about more stuff, because I feel like I could talk to you for several hours about some of these things. And it's really cool because the Knight's Rose, you know, I didn't even think about it until you were talking about the name. But part of Buddhist Biohacker, the pink and the gold is for the rose gold flame. And when we first started off, I had a really incredible experience with the Mary complex and the Mother Mary, and actually had the authors of The Way of the Rose on the show. They're going to be back in November. And they're very connected with Mary. But the other kind of peculiar, interesting thing is my next global meditation is on October 13th. Because we are reclaiming that energy with the Knights Templar, and it's also my dad's birthday. So my dad was born on the 13th of October and turned 13 on the 13th of October. So there's all sorts of energy there. So as you were talking about it, I was like, there's no surprise that I felt connected to you, because I'm sure there's so much energy there and layers and things we'll never figure out in this lifetime. Yeah. But I love that so much. So, yeah, so just thank you so much for being on here. And I think we couldn't have enough of any kind of healer, whether they're a house healer or a psychic or a energy healer or whatever you do. I think like all of us have those gifts, and you know, there can't be enough. So I'm happy to hear that you're training folks to do that work, because I think I get calls. I don't really do house healings anymore. It's something I did in the past. Mainly because of what I could, you know, I could connect to the spirit realm. It's a big job. So I'm glad to hear that you're training people to do that. So
They're all a good bunch too. They're really, really committed, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's just been an absolute pleasure. And thank you. Who's been watching. If you're new to the channel, we have over 100 hours of content, you guys, with healers and incredible people from all around the world talking about enlightenment and stuff. So don't forget to click subscribe, and I'll throw our little thing. If you are listening later on audio, we are on iHeartRadio, Podbean, Spotify, iTunes, Alexa, iListen, all that stuff. So if you're listening later, you can join our forum on MeWe and we can keep these discussions going. I do check all the comments everywhere and want everyone to be a part of the community. So there's all that information. And thank you again, Tim. This has been awesome.
Oh, pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. It's been lovely.
It's just been great. And thank you to everyone. Have a great day. We have one more show left this week. I'll be back at noon Mountain Time in a couple hours with April Thompson talking about human design. So thank you so much, Tim, and thank you, everybody.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.